Genesis chapter 1.
I can feel his eyes come right over her head.
Genesis chapter 1, tonight verses 20 through 23. We're studying the fifth day of creation, reading Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 20. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarming creatures who has the soul of life in them. And birds, let them fly upon the earth, upon the face of the expanse of the heavens." And God created the large sea creature and everything that is pertaining to the sea that has the soul of life in it. The crawling creature who swarms in the waters after its kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and increase and fill the waters in the seas, and let the bird increase in the earth." And it was evening and it was morning, day 5. So far we've studied that every day of creation, not only did God literally create everything in that day that we've studied, that we now experience in the physical realm, but within His creation, within God's design, we see His truths, His spiritual truths, those things that are true in the spirit realm. The theme of the creation study that we've chosen for this time is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse reveals the works of His hand. Day utters unto day, and night unto night, and there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, God's character and His truth is spoken through physical creation. Day 1, we studied, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:6, that God called the light from out of the darkness. He created physical light, which these two truths and scientific facts, if you want to put it that way, demonstrate what is true in the spirit realm. There is spirit, there's a spirit of light, and there's a spirit of darkness. There are two kingdoms and there are two realms. A person is either of the light or of the darkness. Many scriptures in the Old Testament use that. God is light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And those who walk in darkness do not have the light of life. Day 2, we saw the law of judgment, where God created the waters and placed them above this vapor expanse. And as we studied from 2 Peter chapter 3, that Peter says that the Lord did this by His word to preserve the world for judgment, and that God would use these waters upon the world as judgment. So we saw the law of judgment in day 2 of creation. Day 3, we saw the Lord bringing about the dry land and causing the grass and the trees and the fruit-bearing trees to be placed and to grow. And we saw the law of reproduction, studied the law of reproduction. The emphasis of that day of creation was the fact that when God created these things, He created them with a seed-seeding process, this vegetation would produce seed, which would produce its own type and its own plant. We saw how the New Testament uses the Word of God in the same process. Day 4 that we took last week, was the placing of the sun and moon and stars in their place in relationship to the earth. And Malachi 4:2 says that Jesus Christ is the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. And the several places that we saw that his appearance, that people saw him shining as the sun in its brightness and its brilliance. So there's a typology there. Jesus is not the physical sun, but when God set up the relationship between the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars, these luminaries, that these are all used as types in the New Testament to demonstrate spiritual truth, because God is the same. His spiritual truth is found in his materialistic design and creation. Today's law is the law of provision. The law of provision. Notice that on the fifth day he did not create all animals, nor all animal life, nor has he yet created human life. We're talking about the reptiles here. We're talking about the birds and the fish. We're created on the fifth day. Not just a fish and told to go, but swarms of them. And the sea creatures, we're talking about whales, we're talking about the large sea animals, and we're talking about the swarms of fish. I mean, when God created, he created swarms of them all at one time to fill the seas and to gave them the command to be fruitful and reproduce. This is the law of provision. We have to understand that this God in his creation didn't create types so that we can carry types out through, so we can study different types. But again, in his design and creation, he designed creatures and animals and situations and material things to display his own character and his own spiritual truth. Now, first of all, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to study the law of provision in relationship to the fifth day of creation. Matthew chapter 13, these are the kingdom parables spoken by the Lord. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 47. This is a string of parables. So Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net which is cast into the sea, and it gathers in from every type, which once it is filled, when they bring it upon the shore and set it down, they gather the good fish and put them into vessels, and the corrupt fish they throw out. So it is at the end or consummation of the age. The angels shall come, and they shall divide the evil from amongst the midst of the righteous, and they shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus said, the process, understand this, catch this, the process that God is going to use is like a fisherman casting his net into the sea and drawing fish up and then dividing the fish out. The good into vessels and the corrupt fish, as this literal translation is, they cast out. So God has this tremendous net. It's going to be like just drawing people in, and the goats from the sheep, the good fish from the bad fish. So he uses fishing and fish as a type to describe God's process of how he views and what he's going to do at the consummation of the age. Now, since you're in Matthew, go back to chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 at verse 18. Now while Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he says to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Interesting. And immediately, when they left their nets, they followed him. And when they passed on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately when they left their boat and their father, they followed him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Chose fishermen. You think it was by accident? The same hard work that it takes, and all the effort it takes and focus it takes into fishing is what it takes in the Lord's work, believe it or not. Because the Lord is drawing people in. And God told these fishermen that as you went out and caught fish, you follow me and I'll make you, excuse me, fishers of men. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. You've got to know where all these books are by now. It's been all over the place. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that when the crowd was pressing up against him to hear the word of God, and that he was standing along the lake of Gennesaret, he saw two boats standing along the lake. And the fishermen had gone out from them, and they were washing their nets. And when Jesus embarked upon one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to cast him out from the land a little bit. And when he sat down, he taught the crowd from the boat. And when he finished speaking, that tells us right there that this whole presentation so far is not to present the teachings of Jesus. He doesn't even say what Jesus said. It's because it's the incident that Luke is inspired to write about. When he was finished with his speaking, he said to Simon, "Cast out into the deep and drop your nets for a catch of fish." And Simon answered and said to him, I said, I love these answers, "Master, having toiled all night, we have caught nothing. But," now this is literal, "but upon the basis of your word, I will cast down the net." Now here's a fisherman saying, we fish at night, we don't fish during the day. We fished all night long and haven't caught one fish, and you're telling us to go out now and fish during the daytime, which we know we won't catch any fish. We know the fishing industry. We know how to catch fish around here. Nevertheless, after his explanation, upon the basis of your word, I like that. It's literally is what he's saying. Upon the basis of your word, we will go out and let down the net. And when they did this, they caught, they literally trapped, a large multitude of fish. And their nets were tearing. And they beckoned to their partners who were in the other boat that they should come over and help them. And when they came, they filled both boats so that they were sinking. And when Simon saw this, he fell to the knees of Jesus. You ever know why he once fell to the knees? It's because Jesus is in the boat. If you fall on your knees, you're facing the guy's knees because he's sitting in the boat. And when he fell at the knees of Jesus, he said, "Join our industry and bless it and we'll make a million." And didn't say that, did he? He said, I like this because this is what it's like to be in the presence of Christ. I don't buy all this victorious health and wealth business. When you've come into the presence of Christ, this is your response. "Depart from me because I am a sinful man, O Lord." I mean, when you're in the presence of Christ, His holiness and His righteousness and His authority and His lordship just magnifies up against all of our arguments and all of our stubbornness and all of our self-centeredness. And he didn't say it in the sense of low self-esteem or I'm not worthy to be saved, but he just saw, here's him saying, arguing with the master. "Master, you don't understand the fishing industry. We know about those stuff around here. Nevertheless, upon the basis of your word, we'll go." Well, the master showed him. you obey my words, I'll show you where the fish are. See? And it tells us here, verse 9, for he had been overcome with amazement, and all of those who were with him, over the catch of fish which they took. Likewise also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not. From now on you shall catch living men. Notice that. You'll no longer catch fish to kill them for the industry, you know, the fishing process. You're going to catch living people. Fishers of men. And when they brought their boats up upon the land, they left everything and followed him. You see how he's working the fishing industry and the catching of fish into him saying to them, you follow me, I'll guide you to where the people are. In the same way that you follow my directions, in the same way that you catch fish, you'll catch people for the kingdom of God. You catch fish to die so that people may eat, and that's why God created them. It's for our sustenance, for our food. But in the same way, he used fish and the type of fish for his disciples to show them how God's process and provision for mankind will be as his Spirit works among mankind. His total dependency on the Lord to go where he goes, where he sends. And the Lord's got his net out there and he's pulling in people into his kingdom. The world is like a sea of fish. And for every person that God draws out and saves, he puts them up on the dry land. And there's if you really catch what Jesus is teaching here, you can't help that when you come before the Lord in our prayers and in our concerns for other people, is that there are a lot more fish still in the sea. And the Lord has been gracious to draw us out and place us on dry land and clothe us in his righteousness. And we can sit around and play church, but that's not the point. The point is the nets still have to go out and draw in. Now, there's another instance in Matthew chapter 27 where the tax collectors came up to Peter and said, Peter, doesn't your master pay the tax? So when he came in, Jesus anticipated what he would say. He says, Peter, I'll tell you what. You go out and drop your hook in the sea. The first fish you pull up, open his mouth. There'll be a satyr, which is 2 drachma, enough to pay taxes for you and for me. And we'll see, a lot of people have trouble with that and say, well, Jesus cheated. He performed a miracle and paid his taxes for him, you know, type thing. But you have to understand, putting all that together, of how Jesus was making the correlation between their fishing expeditions and how God's kingdom functions and what God's going to use them for with people, and God works the same way. He was telling them that as you serve me, you become fishers of men, I'll provide for you. That's what he was teaching them by telling them to go down and pull a fish up and he'd find the money in the fish. You trust me and do my work, and I'll provide for you. Yes, sir.
When Peter said, on the basis of your word,
right.
I'm trying to figure out, did he believe then? Or
no, I don't think. I think it's the same thing that Jesus said. When Jesus said, if it's your will, let this cup depart from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Peter basically said, look, Lord, we know more about this fishing in this area than you do. Nevertheless, just on the basis of your word, because of who you are, you're the master, we'll go do it.
But he wasn't convinced yet.
Obviously not, because he was amazed. You know, he was amazed at the master. But that doesn't mean that he didn't believe. You have to understand that the Lord does the same thing with us. He did not chide Peter. Because what he was showing him was, I'm the master, and just as I showed you where the fish, I know where all the fish in the sea are, and I know where every person is.
I wonder if it was like a Moses.
In what way?
What would Moses
about a speech, you mean? Or
no one approached the Lord at the burning bush.
Oh.
I wonder if it was the
Well, the same thing John in the book of Revelation, when he turned around to see the vision of Christ, he fell over as dead. Yeah. I mean,
I wonder if that's the same thing Peter
did. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, now with the birds. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Remember, on the fifth day of creation, the Lord created the sea creatures and the fowl of the air. Matthew 6, 19. Do not treasure up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust is corrupting, and where thieves are breaking through and are stealing. But rather treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupting, and where thieves are not breaking through, neither able to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is single, that is focused, your whole body shall be illuminated. But if your eye is evil, your whole body shall be in darkness. If therefore the light which is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one is able to serve two lords or masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or despise the one and cling to the other. You are not able to serve God and mammon. Mammon is a Aramaic word that means material things. You cannot. It is literally impossible to serve God and man at the same time, or material things at the same time. For this reason, I say to you, be not anxious. The word anxious or care means to have the attention of your mind occupied with something. Do not be anxious, or have your life occupied with what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither for your body what you shall put on. Is not your life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Now notice verse 26. Study, literal translation, not just glance, but study the birds of the air, that they neither spin, or they neither sow, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. So he says, just stop and take a look at the birds. Not a care in the world, unless you're chasing them. You know? Unless they're in danger. I mean, they're going from bush to bush, just singing away like crazy. I wonder if they ever stop to think, gee, I wonder if we get over in the next yard and all of a sudden we run out of trees and run out of food. God's already provided it for them. They just go from tree to tree and bush to bush just eating. Everything's taken care of. God's provided it in nature. And what the Lord is saying here is just stop, don't glance at them and say, oh, what a nice pretty bird. But just stop and study them for a minute. Here's this bird just as happy as can be, just chirping away, and he's just going from bush to bush, eating the provisions of his heavenly Father. He says, what I want you to do is study that bird. How much more valuable are we than birds? And how much more will our heavenly Father take care of us? So basically what he's saying is, if you ever come into a point where you're anxious about your life, and you want to get real spiritual, go out and sit on your porch and look for a bird. Bird watch. You know, that has blessed me so many times when you're out in the middle of nowhere, especially when you're out working out on a ranch someplace and there's no people around, you don't have your Bible with you, and you're praying to the Lord for help, and all of a sudden the Lord's got all these birds all around you, you know. They don't have a care in the world, and you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen to your life, you know. And the Lord's got these birds, and it might sound corny. You might think it's corny, but you'd be surprised. I couldn't even tell you how many times the Lord, by His Spirit, has come to my heart and life just from this passage of Scripture right here that has caused me to study and notice the birds and say, now, didn't God have every detail taken care of for these little guys? How much more me? Will He take care of me and every detail? is planned. And I'm sure, you know, all hairs are numbered, so I'm sure he's got angels working overtime, you know, counting them. I mean, if every hair is numbered, don't you think that every second of the day is planned and provided for? You bet. And it's fascinating how God, he doesn't chide us and say, be spiritual, claim it, read your Bible and claim it and just trust that it's true. But he says, study the birds. They're not made in the image of God. They're only here for a short time and they're gone. They serve a certain purpose within nature, but they also serve a spiritual purpose. And God designed them and said, look, you watch the birds, you'll see my provision for them. How much more will I provide for you? That if God has designed within creation the provision for the birds, how much more will he design within creation and life itself, his provision for us, his children. He says, are you not more valuable than the birds? And which of you, in taking care for your life, you are able to add one cubit to his stature? A cubit, remember, is from the elbow to the measurement from the elbow to the tip of your little finger. That is a cubit. If I wanted to grow this high, from here to here, if I stopped and concentrated on it and worried about it, how far would I grow? And what he's saying is, you cannot change your situation. You cannot change the provision for your life by sitting around worrying about it and being occupied with it. God's already got it taken care of. And concerning your clothing, why are you so anxious? Again, learn from the lilies of the field. Here's God's creation. Stop and look at the lilies of the field, how they are growing. They neither labor, neither do they spin, but I say to you that Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed as one of these. If the grass of the field is today, and this is how God clothes it, and tomorrow it is cast into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For all of these things the nations are seeking after. Literally the heathen, the people that do not know God, they have to worry about these things. But not God's people. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Well, how many times do we sing it, quote it, you know, we read it over and over again? And God says, I will add to you everything that you need. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go out of your way to get it. Whatever you need will be added. You just put me, you only got one thing in life to focus on, and that's me. And I'll provide for you just like the birds of the air, like the lilies of the field. I clothed them and provided for them. How much more will I do for you? Therefore, be not anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall be anxious for itself. For sufficient is the day of the evil of it. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know, there's going to be enough evil that you're going to have to face tomorrow when you get there without creating it tonight in your mind. And you're compounding the problem. We're not there yet. God's grace has not brought us to that point. But what he has brought us to is that our Heavenly Father is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he takes out of the fifth day of creation the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and carries that over into the New Testament to show God's provision for his people, his servants, those that he has saved, that he's going to provide for the world. He's going to draw people in with his net. And he's going to take people and he's going to save them and he's going to put them on the fishing line. And not everybody's going to be on the fishing line. Some people are going to be back at the dock praying. Some people are going to be steering the boat. But everybody's going to be a part of this, for lack of a better word, this process. God is involved in a salvation process going on. And it's through the body of Christ here on the earth. And he's drawing people to himself. And While we do that, he says, everything will be provided for. You do not have to go out of your way. You don't have to put me second or third. You don't have to put me on hold. I will provide for your every need, just like I do the birds of the air. And I'll clothe you just like I did the lilies of the field. Well, I tell you, when we come to that point, perfect peace. We ever catch that, catch a glimpse of that. It's really a matter of priority. Like Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, you have left your first love. You have left me, loving me above everything else. Even the concern about your own personal life, you have left me. Return, repent. And know that I will provide for your every need. I hope that as we go through these accounts of creation and study the various laws, because within creation, as God did create the birds and the fish, for purposes of nature and purposes of life, to provide for physical life and to provide for the balance of nature, within the design of the function of the birds and within the design of the function of the fish of the sea, of all of its various kinds and species, within that intricate design, God takes it in type and says, the design that I incorporated into these things is me. It's who God is. And he works the same with people. And he provides for people more than the animals in which he created. So by studying his design and his process for in creation, not only that he created, but his design in creation, I mean, what kind of a God are we dealing with here that he would care so much for one little bird? I mean, the Bible says the bird does not fall to the ground except that our Heavenly Father knows about it. He knows every bird that falls to the ground dead. Every bird that's going to die, and when it's going to die, it's already been planned and taken care of. And that bird's provision, from birth till the end of its time, God's already provided for it. That's amazing. I thought about this a long time ago, about why does God create all the different species of animals? Probably not only to blow the scientists' minds, keep them busy, you know. But you stop and think about it. We talked last week a little bit after the study about the various kinds of birds and the different species. Is that God can take multitudes of thousands of kinds of the same species and provide for their every need, no matter what their habits are and no matter where they live. I mean, that just impresses me even more of how God says every child of his, every person that belongs to God is different. They live in a different place. They have different circumstances, and everybody's unique in their own way. And yet God says, just stop and think about all the various kinds of animals and habits of life that God has to provide for. And God planned it that way, just to be a testimony to us to say, it doesn't make a difference how different you are or what your circumstances are. I got it all planned and provided for. All you need to do is focus. If your eye is single, your whole body will be full of life. If it's focused on Christ, if it's not focused on Christ, a lot of darkness. Whatever light we say we have, it'll be darkness. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we do thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you and remember that you have provided for our salvation by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, and that just as you drag the fish in, you draw us to the cross of Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you for these young children that have come this week to receive you as their Lord and Savior. We know that you have drawn them by your Spirit. We pray that you would draw more tomorrow, that if any do not know you, that you would open their hearts and minds to receive you tomorrow. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father who provides for us, for our every need. It's been planned. All you ask us to do is to focus, to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and you will add to us all things that we need. Help us to learn this truth. Help us to learn it based upon who you are, and receive this message and this blessing to each one of our hearts and lives, that we will be at peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.